take over. We are menace take over.
Hey, it's your girl, Tamika.
It's your boy, E-Rock Nim.
Listen, we keep it real.
We keep it raw.
We keep it uncut.
All day.
We are
Marriage Takeover.
We help couples win in their marriage by identifying their triggers and breaking generational cycles.
Boom!
Listen, we want to welcome you.
Welcome into this place.
Oh, y'all
welcome.
Just when you think he's already done. We want to welcome you to this series of this podcast, Marriage and Ministry.
Yes.
We are so excited to have you. It has been phenomenal as we've been unpacking the different series and the segments and the different guests and the different topics that we've been talking about. And we pray that it's been a blessing. So this episode is being brought to you by...
Are you looking for accountability? Are you looking for personal development and growth and spiritual and emotional support? Hey, are you looking for community? Listen, if you are looking for all these things, we want you to know that the Marriage Takeover Connected membership is for you.
Yes, it is.
Listen, we meet every month. We have a wife's lounge. We've got bro talk. We have all the different things. We've got monthly classes. We have experts that come in. And it's an opportunity for us to pour into you, for you to be able to get what you need to start your healing process. So if this is for you, we want you to connect and get inside of the membership.
So we're back, and if you're just tuning in, this is Marriage and if you're just tuning in for the first time, this is the Marriage and Ministry segment series four of the Marriage Takeover podcast, and we have the phenomenal Pastor Janelle Alexander and his amazing wife, Ellie Alexander.
We've heard of, we know people closely that because they didn't set the boundaries, and because, in a way, the church abused them, they did.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular situation,
mm-hmm.
their family, including the wife and the kids, want nothing to do with the church. And when you see stuff like that happen, there's something that went wrong.
Yeah.
Because we should be leading them to be closer with the Lord. And so that's why I say that the people that are doing that in leadership in the church, it's not necessarily that they're doing it intentionally to be wrong, but they just don't know. And it's your responsibility.
Mm.
It's our responsibility as family members. It was my wife's responsibility to tell me, I'm just tired of you being in church all the time and not at my house, not at home with the family. It was my responsibility when I saw... Well, actually, when I heard her after a couple of years, she was singing in the choir. I heard her telling somebody that. I was like, oh, my goodness. I got to check it. I went and I started checking it. It was late, but I checked it because I wanted to make sure that we were together and that we were on the same page. And not that I was being abusive.
Mm.
That's some kind of, that I'm misusing. I'm just coming home.
Right.
And when I came home, I was eating. I hang out with the kids for a little bit, but I didn't really spend time with her.
You were tired. Yeah.
So it's our response. It's the person's responsibility to draw those boundaries.
Yeah. I love it.
Hey,
I love it. Hold on a second. I did have a question. So hold on one second, though.
Ladies first.
So as the worship pastor, how do you set or establish the boundaries? Because you mentioned, and it was such a great point, because I want everybody to know, right? And you all, if y'all know Marriage Takeover, y'all been following Marriage Takeover, you already know. So we don't have to share our heart's intent. But for those who might be listening for the first time, you know, this is not a bash on the church. You know that this is not, we are exposing the spirit, number one, of religion. We are sharing what marriage and ministry looks like and then how you can overcome.
And also at the same time, we also like to shine a light on the spirit of division that tries to come in when you think that you're doing a good deed, but when things is out of godly order.
Right.
And that's right. that's what this is all about. Go ahead.
And so how to help you to navigate marriage and ministry, just because a lot of times, a lot of our followers, a lot of the audience, they are leaders in the church. And right. So this is something that is, you know, people don't talk about it as much. And so this is not a knock on a pastor. This is not a knock on their ministry or any of that stuff. So one of the things, though, that I think is so important is that sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes it's not because the leader is trying to do it to be manipulative or to try to be mean or to try to take much of you. It's just there is a need in the church and they're trying to fill the need because they believe that if this need is met, that they'll be able to give glory to God more, that it will bring in the people, that it will bring in, you know, the money, that they will bring in just the different things. And like it moves the function of the church, if you will. So they see the need more than they are sitting and trusting and resting in God. And I think that's another thing too. So we speak the word, we preach the word, but we aren't always applying the word of God and trusting in him. So in that space, we will run certain people ragged. And oftentimes it's the musicians. Oftentimes it's the leaders. It's those who are faithful. So how do you, as a worship pastor,
you finna ask my slave question right here.
I don't think so. How do you, as the worship pastor, organize or set it up for your team to have freedom and not get burnt out in the ministry?
Ooh, that's a good
question. That's good. Well, you know, technology is a beautiful thing. So when we moved here, when we was in Alaska, if you was in the choir, you just sang. You were there every week. Now we use an app. We use an app at our church, which most churches all over the country are now using. It's called Planning Center Services. There's another one called Worship Planning. There's a whole bunch of different others. We use specifically an app called Planning Center Services. And what we do, we have schedules. I put out a schedule 2 or 3 weeks in advance out for services. And you have a couple options. You as the singer, as the band member, can block out the dates that you are not available. I will see that, and my other administrator will see that, and we won't schedule you. Or what I don't do that, then I'll see that, yeah, you've been singing the last 3 Sundays. I'm going to now have the last 3 weeks because we have Wednesday and Sunday service. So now I'm going to give you, I'm not going to schedule you for 2 weeks. Do whatever you want to do, but I'm not going to schedule you so you don't get burned out. Prior to COVID, we used to have rehearsals every Thursday night, except for the fourth Thursday of the month. And the fourth Thursday of the month, we just wouldn't rehearse because I don't want to burn people out. When you burn people out, you're not going to get the best of them.
Right.
And I don't want anybody to feel obligated. When it comes to worship, should be a little bit of an obligation, but I don't want you to feel obligated. You know, when you go, they have a saying, when you're talking about serving, you should never use the phrase, I got to go serve. It should be, I want to go serve. Because that has that indication of, oh, I got to do it. It's an obligation. And there's the heart is out of it. But when you say, I get to go, excuse me, that's it. When I get to go serve, that's saying that is your desire. You want to do that.
Right.
So I try to make sure that I am scheduling people. Like as today, we were singing and one of our main sopranos was a schedule. Her and her husband, they both were on the team. They weren't scheduled and they appreciate that because now they get to come to church, not really having to worry about they have to serve, but now they can receive.
Right.
They can receive and get a little fresh revelation without the mindset of, oh man, I got to serve, I got to sing, I got to do all this, I got to remember the notes, I got to do all this. And now they can just come get poured onto. So now when they go to sing in another couple of weeks, now they can pour out. If you get poured on, you can get poured out. But if you're always doing, you don't have enough room to get poured onto, and then you have nothing to pour out. What becomes, it starts to become just little traditions that you do. You're singing, you lift your hands. Oh, you say the phrase. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, God, you're so worthy.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it, but the heart is not connected with the language.
Yes.
And so I try to do that with the team. I don't want nobody up there just doing the works. I want you to be connected to what we're saying, what we're singing. And it's not about our gifts. We're allowing God to use the gifts in us, but it's really about the anointing. And if you're connected, that's going to make it easier for the anointing to pour on you. So then before it gets ministered to the congregation, now the Lord is ministering to you. And then what you're doing up there now, it starts to flow over into the congregation where now God's presence is now coming together and unifying the body of Christ.
Okay, I love it.
Man, that is awesome. I love it. I got to ask Ellie because, you know, she's been on the AV. That's background. And I look at just what my daughter do with the church. And it's like, yo, she's there before everybody else. She's the last one out the door. And it's like when you begin to even just balance that, how was that also for you in the position that you have at the church?
I mean, it's fairly easy for me just because whenever I have to be there, when I'm scheduled on the AV is also the same time he's got to be there. So we go together. We can, you know, we work
and
together.
And y'all use the same app.
Yeah, we use the same app as well. And I don't, he has me where I don't do it all the time. I mean, there's a few people that he can rotate around. And so really it's not that big of a deal for me. I like doing it. I like serving. I worship from the sound booth.
Yes, she does. And I'm like, can you stop worshiping? I need the word. Please, can you?
Right.
I need some volume. Hello.
Right. I love it.
Put the words back on the screen. Take your hands now.
I love it. Now, you mentioned earlier, too, how you all feed off of each other. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure, it would be remiss of us if we did not just talk about your spiritual gifts and how they work together, because I think that is so important. When we talk about marriage and how God has just been showing us, you mentioned that there's purpose, right, in the marriage. And marriage in and of itself is a ministry, and it absolutely is. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about... We call it a purpose partner. Like when you are married and God has linked you two together, there is a purpose as a result of your marriage.
Right.
There is a purpose as a result of how people see your marriage. And so, because it is the image of God displayed here on earth.
Right. Praise the Lord. What happened?
I don't know. This is the second time this has happened. Really third.
Let's try and figure out. We can figure out the number.
I don't know. First time she said something that happened, something went wrong. So it's probably the same thing that happened this time.
So what's it on our end?
Our end is fine. It's on there.
What was I going to say?
You was going to the gift line and work together.
Okay.
So we can hear y'all.
No, we can hear.
It's blank.
Huh?
Oh, we can hear.
I'm saying we can hear you guys, but there's no visual. There we go.
Okay. That's okay.
Since we're at this, before you dive into it, because I do know we're coming up on the hour and a half mark, because I did say 2 hours in the beginning, right? In that first email,
I don't know, I can't remember.
Okay,
I think it was more than an hour and a half.
I'm literally going to break this. This is going to be a 2-part podcast. Is that okay?
Do you all have time? What does your schedule look like?
Are we good for today?
We're good.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Good.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
How are we for the first segment, though? Where are we time wise on the first segment?
If I can pull it up for my
30 minutes.
You're talking about before the break, right?
No, but from the time we started till now, we should be coming up on the hour, right?
No, it's past the hour.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, but chop it down.
And then we just do the recording at the end. We do the prayer thing at the end, and then you'll chop it in and insert it.
Yeah, we can do it. We can do prayer at the end and then do another prayer.
We're sorry, guys. We apologize.
Oh, no. You're fine. Just because we're going to do two different segments, I didn't want to stop the flow.
Yes. Yeah,
so we're just going to do the, yeah. No. You're good.
You're fine. We'll do all the other stuff at the end that we can just cut in.
So you mentioned earlier just about...
Come on, baby.
Oh, sorry.
You got to get a
countdown.
Break.
Yes. I'm ready. Okay. So you mentioned earlier about how you all feed off of each other. And I think that it's so important, right? Because as when you're married and God has, when God joins you together, like it's purpose partnership, right? It's really about your, what your marriage is ministry. And when people see you, your marriage and how you treat each other, how you love each other, it is a display of God's image here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so for somebody who might not experience or see anything else or not know God, they can see how you treat and love each other and know, oh, I want that. Wonder what that is. And then it starts to get them intrigued and, oh, that's God. That's his love. That's his forgiveness. That's his, you know, it shows, again, all the characteristics of God and his image. So... Mm-hmm. When it comes to the spiritual gifts, mm-hmm. right, when you said that you feed off of each other, I don't think a lot of couples understand that enough, especially in ministry. At what point did you know what your spiritual gifts were? Is question number one.
And how they work together.
And then how did you learn how they work and complement each other?
Yeah.
Is question number two.
So
they said they're smiling.
Well, he's got a lot of the gifts, like, I think we're switching over.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
He's more in front of the audience, and he's, he's a worship pastor. He's always up front, but I like being his cheerleader in the background. I have no problem with that. I don't want to be in the spotlight. I don't want, but anyway, my thing is just praying for him. That's bothering me. Sorry. Distracted.
Y'all gonna see the ugly one here in a few minutes.
No, but I mean, we both have lots of gifts. I think mine is just more background and not up front. I love prayer. Prayer is my thing. Peace. I love to spend time with God. I like to be outside and be in God's creation. And I like to, I don't know. I mean, the people that you really should be ministering to besides family and you know, most people in church, I don't know if most is, well, probably most are saved, or at least a majority of them, if you're in a good church. So it's outside the church walls where really your ministry should be. And I try to do that on a daily basis, just at work, you know, every day, give people a smile. I mean, there's quite a few times where I work in a pharmacy and I have people coming in, they're dealing with cancer, they're dealing with all kinds of stuff. And it's a good opportunity for me to say, hey, well, you know what, I'm going to be praying for you. I'll ask their name, I'll get information, you know, without being too in their business. But most people want to offer that information, and I think they can see God on you, and it's almost like a peace that they feel comfortable sharing their story. Or just actually Friday, I had a guy come in, and he's waiting for a kidney transplant, and I got to share with him my husband, how he had a kidney transplant, and he was so just in awe and wanted to hear all about it. And I was like, you know what, just keep hanging on in there, because God's got a plan for you too. And, you know, it's just those simple moments. I don't have to be in front of a big stage or, you know, be in front of people, but just those little moments where you get the chance to share God. Or, you know, like you said, with the person on the bum on the street, it's like,
yeah,
those are the people that need God the most, you know? So we should be sharing and just wanting to show God in everything that we do. So
I love it.
I don't know how it compliments him, but we're complete opposite. The two of us are, we're opposite, but we're not.
I'll tell you how it compliments us. So she's a prayer warrior. She's an intercessor.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that till I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
But she's someone that is praying. I remember we were having some issues with our marriage, me and her.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this big blue sectional in our house, And, you know, we were doing stuff like, you know, I'm mad at her, she mad at me, and we weren't talking.
Right? We all go through that.
And we're sitting on opposite sides of the couch. Mm. And, of course, I didn't know this till later. She was sharing with somebody. She's like, yeah, he was mad, and I was mad at him. She said, but all I did, I'll be sitting there. And she's, you know, she's looking at TV, but she was praying. She was sitting there praying over the situation, not just over me, but over the situation. And then she was like, yeah, and then a few hours later, he'll come back and say he's sorry. She said, because it was me praying. I was like, okay, all right. So I know that she's praying. Even in the bad times, she's praying over us. But even when I'm on the platform and I'm singing, there's spiritual warfare, not sometimes, all the time.
Yeah.
There's spiritual warfare going on, and you can kind of feel, Tamika, you know this.
Yeah.
You can feel the kind of like the blockage. You're trying to break through, and the wall, it's like right in front of you.
Yeah.
And then, but I will see her, and she's worshiping, but I know she's praying. Mm-hmm. I know when people come and talk to her at the church, she's shaking their hand and she's praying. You know, you don't got to be, you know, handle bilo. You don't got to do all that.
Come on now. Just retie my bow tie.
Come on now.
And the atmosphere totally changed. So we compliment each other. Yes, I'm more upfront, but she just did. She didn't want to talk about that, but a few years ago, prior to COVID, got a word that's saying that you're supposed to be up front. She's supposed to be up front. And so I told her, I'm like, yes, as you supported me, I should support you as well. And so, but she's shy. She doesn't want to be there. But when that happens, then I'm going to be there just as she is there for me, praying, covering her as well as she does whatever the Lord calls her to do. But that's how we balance and complement each other. Her praying over me, I'm praying over her. Yes, I'm more up front, but I still need that support. I still need that foundation behind me. I still need somebody when stuff is getting rough to know what to do and how to do it. So you need somebody, you need a prayer warrior, somebody that already got the armor on and is prepared. Okay, devil, you ready to fight? I'm ready, and be there to support you through all of that. So that's how we, I think, balance.
Yes. And I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. I'm so glad you said that, because we do. Sometimes we will diminish prayer. And oftentimes, and Ellie, I don't want you to diminish that. It's not so much, you know, all it is this, because it's so powerful.
It's so powerful.
It is so powerful. Yeah. And then, and in actuality, it really is up front.
Come on now.
Because the spiritual warfare that's taking place, they just don't see you. Mm. But it is because you're combating against the spiritual warfare. When you're shaking their hands and you're smiling and you're giving them those encouraging words, it's like you are giving them hope. They're seeing the hope through you, through the hope that God is giving you. They're seeing it through you. And when you're shaking their hands, whatever they've come into the sanctuary with, you're wiping that away. Mm. Like, it's diminished because of where you are. Right. You're tapping into a place that is now preparing the way for Pastor Janal to be able to now be able to usher and minister. So you really are in the front. I mean, I know God is going to bring you more places, but when you say that they see him more, they see him more, but that spiritual warfare, because that's what it is. That spiritual warfare, it goes before so that we can be able to tap in and to get access to. Yeah. It goes in before. And so because I've seen it at work in you all, and that was one of the reasons why I asked that, because it's so important for you to understand what the spiritual gifts are and then how they work together and how they complement each other, because no matter what's going on, you could tap into that place. Mm-hmm. No matter what's going on, you're leading the way. No matter what's going on. And like you said, Janal, it ain't no, you know, like sometimes people don't see it. But when you are connected to a source, the source, you don't necessarily have to see it. But if you are connected to the source, you know, oh, Ellie's praying.
Yeah.
I already know.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel
love that. And because I've seen it, and it's such a beautiful display of how your gifts work together.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure that we said that. Yeah.
You know, I still have that video clip when in Canada when you called up. So if I can fish it out and dump it in here, I'm be like, yo,
Lord,
this is how it looks when you are full. Yeah. Oh, I had the camera going, baby. I had the camera going. So. I mean, because a lot of times where, and it's a lot of times we see, and I mean, you know, you've been around, you've seen where, just like you said, you've been able to recognize even the couples that are on the worship ministry. You've been able to see the difference from them in knowing that, yo, okay, now you can get poured into. And so it's like, but at the same time, you're also displaying the example on what it looks like. You got another question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're also displaying on what it looks like. But a lot of times, as us as couples, we tend to get caught up in the religion piece and just, okay, you do you. Because you're not happy. There's a void within you, within your marriage, and now you want to be married with Jesus. Or there's one thing that I come to understand is that even with marriages, because your gifts are so different from what mine are, we don't take the time to understand how they are working together. And so the enemy will use that to cause a rift to take place. Because at one point she was, you know, her gift is given. I'm with it. Not then, I was like, whoa, hold on. We just got this. What you mean give it? No, we ain't doing that. No, wait, sorry. I'm sorry. You're going to have to talk to Jesus about it. But, and it was like, but when I came into the understanding, because by her giving, it didn't do nothing but open up a door for God to give a word. And I'm just like, oh, that's what you're doing. But versus allowing it to become a rift, I begin to see, God, okay, how this thing supposed to work together? Because that's what your marriage, if your marriage demonstrates the characteristic of who Christ is, his character, then it has to work together because it still shows who he is.
Right.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say.
You would normally write it down.
Yeah.
Can I
say something real quick?
Yeah.
It's good that we, and it's great because I realize we've had people tell us that spouses don't recognize the gifts of each other. And so I like what you said, Tamika. Yeah, prayer, we can't do any of that. I can't get up there and sing if I don't have the prayer, if I don't have that foundation. Now, I'll say this is kind of funny. We don't like standing beside each other during worship. We don't like it because we're all busy worshiping the Lord, which you should be. You shouldn't be thinking about your spouse
right
when you're worshiping. You should be thinking about the Lord. Mm. But we'll be worshiping and we're hitting each other in the head and the hands up. But we made a thing during worship. We don't want to stand by each other. You know, she's like, I'm glad you up there because I don't want to be hitting you. But I recognize her gift. You know, she recognized my gift and they do work together.
Yeah.
They work together for the good. And it makes, she's saying that she's in the background, but there's been people saying, I know you're praying.
Yeah.
No, I can feel it. And that's important. So, yeah, I try not to. I know I'm up front, but I try my best to support her in whatever she's doing.
Yeah.
To make sure that I'm not being, you know, somebody. She's been supporting me as long as we've been together. So I need to support her in what God has for her to do, whatever it is.
And when you're connected to God, it's easy to support the God in yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you want God to be glorified. Is what it comes down to. So as long as he's being glorified, you know, and you can recognize that in your spouse and it's easy to get on board with it.
Yeah.
Wow. I know we're in the flow now. Cause that was my next question. How do you support each other in ministry and, you know, support each other in ministry in the ministry roles? There ain't no need. We're in the flow now. Come on here now. Come on. Glory.
I love
my
it.
God, that's what happens when you got Janelle and Ellie in the building. Hallelujah. Woo.
Mika. Segue, Mika. Segue.
Right. Right. So when you were, you mentioned earlier that you're very different, right? You're very different in personalities. I know. And then you're also different with when it comes to your spiritual gifts, right? So how... what was the challenge when Pastor Janelle, when you wanted to move and do something, you're like, oh, this is what I know. And Ellie was like, this ain't it. This ain't what I'm feeling. What was that? What was the challenge from, and I want to hear from the both of you, what was that challenge? Because again, you're very different. God uses you differently. You hear differently, but she was resting in her gift. Like, that don't feel right. That's not what, that's not God. How was, what was that challenge like?
With me, it's all about, like, if I don't have a peace about something, I know it's not either not the right time or it's not for us. And for him, when he's ready to go and ready to do something, it's hard to stop him. But like, no matter what I say, I can't stop him from thinking. So that's true. I mean, that's really where prayer comes in, because God has to work on him. I can't, there's nothing I can say or do when he gets it in his mind to do something that will stop him from doing
something.
And if I don't have a peace about it, I just, you know, I'll try and share that, but sometimes it's a challenge. It is a challenge. Mm-hmm. But that's when I know, okay, God, you have to speak to his heart about this situation.
That's good.
I don't have a peace about it. He's got it in his
mind.
No, it hasn't. But God is faithful with that. And, you know, he hears our prayers. And he does. He works in a way that we would never even imagine. That's what I think we hold that God in this little box sometimes, because we want him to do it the exact way that we have pictured in our minds. But it's so crazy, over and over and over again. I can't even say how many times God has done it in a way that is so much better than anything I could ever imagine. And, you know, his ways are just so much better. So we got to quit limiting God and just let him work on our spouse, you know, and I have to have patience in the meantime.
Wow.
You know,
Well, come on.
Can you pray for me?
I love it. I love it. Oh my goodness. I love that you said that, Ellie.
Wow.
You're right, though. Yeah, she's absolutely right. I see vision, or if I have a feeling, I'm ready to go. And I'm ready. I already see the plan. I'm ready to do it. And my hardest thing is to rely on somebody, because I've always been kind of independent. And I didn't know when we got saved, you know, we decided, okay, we're going to live this life before God. I didn't know that that was her gift. I didn't know that she was kind of in the back. She was really in the background. She was smiling. She talked to people. That was it. But I didn't know that prayer was really her gift until I got sick. Mm-hmm. When I got sick, I started to see that that was what she was doing. You know, and this, her prayer was beyond, Lord, lay me down to sleep. Lord, I pray my soul to keep. It was more of, she was warfaring. You know, she was praying over me when I was hooked up to the two ventilators and the doctors coming in and telling her, he's not going to make it. He won't be here till this Friday. He will be gone. He won't be here. And she's standing on the word saying, God promised me. I've been praying. God promised me.
Jebo, come on now.
So when I, you know, that stuff, that's when I was like, oh, wait a minute.
My God.
She has a gift in that. And then, you know, she joined the prayer ministry. And it was different from other people that were praying. Not, and I'm not trying to single her out saying that she was better. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying she is better. She did it in her own way, and people would come back and testify about the prayer. And then that it wasn't just her doing it because people see her. It was when in the alone times, in the morning when nobody's awake, she's up in there praying and reading her word and covering me. And she is correct. If I have my mind set to do something, it's not too much going to change what my mind says. I'm going to do it. And so she'll go and she'll pray. And then all of a sudden I feel a different, like, wait, well, maybe she's right. Maybe I should. And that's when I found out, she's like, yeah, I just prayed because you was going to be stubborn. So I just prayed. And God just told everything that we've been through. God just totally changed everything to a place of peace.
Wow.
And so now that we know, we're more of, we'll talk about stuff and she'll be like, I don't got peace about it. And so now our conversation is, well, we need to pray about it. We need to wait and seek the Lord about it. That's good. It's like it's never not been good. It's always God has worked it out perfectly. But that goes with, I got to take responsibility where I got to yield to the Holy Spirit. She's praying, but I still got to yield to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And he's done it. He's done it every time where he changes my heart. And, you know, I'm like, okay, Lord, I see what my wife was saying. And we just keep moving. And so I think that's how we get through all that.
I love it. On purpose. Yeah. I love it.
Oh, my God, yo. That.
One of his gifts too is being a visionary, and even in the stuff that he wants to jump into, it may not be the time right now, but he sees things, and he is quite the visionary. And without him, I would be like, I wouldn't, so I thank God that it complements us, because yeah, he can see things more. I would say he's more of the visionary than I am. But it helps to pull me out too. So.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was. I might keep it for a little
while. I love it.
Man, that is awesome.
I love it.
You got a seal and a prayer. Come on, a seal and an intercessor.
I love it.
Y'all better watch out. Dynamic duo coming through.
Right. I love it. And what I will say is, again, we've known you all for a long time, and we weren't that close to you all when we were in Alaska. I think we got closer after you all moved. But I appreciate your authenticity. I appreciate how you both love God. I appreciate how you both serve God. And Pastor Janal, you may not know, but it was because of you and how you lived your life when I started to sing on praise and worship that I saw God differently. Like, I was always seeking a relationship. I was like, it's got to be something different. But I appreciated how although I think you do more workshops now than maybe you did then, or maybe we weren't calling it workshops then, but it was just your teachings and helping us to understand when you are a worshiper, it's more than just singing. Mm-hmm. And to be able to see you all support each other and to love on one another, I appreciate that. And so I just wanted to make sure that I gave you all your flowers now, because it was such a blessing. And even to see you all now moving and functioning where you are and going in ministry, it's been a blessing to me, just because, again, your authentic worship, and I appreciate that. So thank you both for that example.
I just want to say the reason why when we was in Canada, the reason why that stands out, that's something I have never forgotten. And the reason why I never forgotten, because, you know, I'm like you, Ellie. Hey, y'all got that on stage, the whole singing down heaven and everybody. But what Ellie showed me was always staying ready and being and having that connection, because it was the connection first, because all you did was just look at her. I was like, did he blink? Did he, you know, do something? You know what I mean? But it was because you all were literally one.
Connected,
for me, you all were one in the spirit.
Yeah.
And that way you were able to do and allow God to do what he was doing. And I was just like, wow. And to just see that and to just know that's like, yo, this how this thing work together. And so I'd like, you know, like she said, we don't want to give you flowers when the Lord decided to call you home. We want to give them to you now. You know what I'm saying? So you can hold them and keep them and always smell them and just like, you know, they did say that. So, you know, we just want to, I appreciate just what you do, just not out of show, but out of just who you are.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to do a quick rapid fire with you guys, right? So five questions.
Five of them joint.
Five questions, rapid fire, go. Tacos or formal dining?
Formal.
Movies out or movies in?
Movies in.
A vacation on an island? Vacations on an island or a mountain?
Oh, island.
Island, yeah, definitely.
Spades or Jim Rummy?
Oh, he doesn't play cards. I play both of them, but he doesn't play cards.
Okay.
Well, then, I tell you what, I got one for you, Jadal. Then grill or with grilling either propane or charcoal.
Charcoal.
And then a walk on the beach or a walk into town.
Walk into town.
I kind of like both, but I wouldn't mind a beach walk. But yeah, I like walking into town.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
Well, you don't like too close to the water.
You don't get close to
the water. He does not like the beach.
Oh man. Well, thank you guys so much. Again, it's been an honor, and we so appreciate you.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you have any last words of encouragement, or not any last words? How would you encourage the people, again, the leaders in the church that are saying, you know, how do we balance marriage and ministry? What does that look like for those that are, you know, some people might not feel like because they're on a praise team or they're in a choir or they're ushering that they're leaders, but they really are leaders in the church. How would you encourage those couples on today?
This is a given, but you need to have not religion, but a relationship.
Yeah.
Have to have a relationship with God, because then without having a relationship with God, you can't dialogue with him. You can't have a conversation, which we talked about in church today. Our pastor was doing a series on being rooted and how whenever you eat nutrients and, you know, like you eat like vegetables, but if you eat it one day, that doesn't mean it's going to help you for that day. But if you don't eat it for another 6 months, that's not going to be healthy for you. You need to continue to grow. You need to continue to eat your vegetables, continue to exercise, whatever it is to help you maintain a healthy lifestyle. Mm. It's the same thing with our spiritual walk. We have to do things to make sure, we have to stay connected to God. We got to read our word. We need to pray. We need to be surrounded by people that can encourage us and, important, correct us in love so that we can move forward and get on the purpose that God has designed for us, because we all have purpose.
That's good.
And so I kind of tell my worship team, because especially on worship teams, you'll hear people say that's the worship leader and the singers are the background singers. There are no background singers on the worship team. I tell them we're all worship leaders. We're standing up here leading the church. We're leaders. As a matter of fact, before you get on the worship team, if you said that you have accepted the Lord as your personal savior, you're living for him, you have now became a leader, because now you're supposed to lead others so that they can go get closer to God. By your works, by your walk, by your lifestyle, by the light, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. So you're leading them to do that. Mm-hmm. So make sure that we are encouraging them by building them up. I do a lot of build up on the team. So I have some singers that are not as strong, but they do a good job. And I'll sit there and I'm like, man, you did good. And then what I notice they come back and they're doing better because of the encouragement. A lot of times in the body of Christ, we don't encourage each other.
Right.
Come on now.
We'll correct you in a minute, but we won't encourage you to help you keep going, even if you didn't do it the way I wanted you to do it. You strive to do it. So I try to encourage them, not just with singing, but even with their life. You're like, okay, what are you doing? I'll send out devotions to the team just, you know, periodically. I'll send a devotion out. And the response to the devotion is like, I needed that. And that's when I know, okay, God, you wanted me to do that at that moment. So you got to make sure that you're encouraging them. You got to also make sure that you're living the life.
Yes. Right.
That you're on the platform. And I make my mistakes. I slip up. I do things that are not of God. But I try to live my life according to the word of God. And I try to live that in front, not just in front of everybody, but also in secret as well with us. And so we try to be that couple that people can see as examples.
Yes.
But I'm pretty upfront. I tell them, man, don't be looking at me thinking this is the way to get to heaven. Right. I'll tell them real quick, because I might mess up tomorrow, but my heart, I always go back to David.
Come on now.
David, he did some stuff. He did some crazy stuff in the Bible. But then God had the audacity to say, this is a man after my own heart. And I look at that even in my life. It's like, man, sometimes, yeah, I mess up. And then I'm like, well, God, there's no way that you're going to allow me to have to experience your presence. Jeez. And I feel like he said, I'm not saying I'm David, but I feel like he's saying, you are a man after my own heart, because your heart of repentance is what he looked at.
Right.
He looked at the heart of repentance. So when I repent, I'm like, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have did that. And he looks at my heart and allows me to feel his presence to a point where I'm just on my knees. And that's, to me, if I don't feel his presence, that means I'm in some trouble. There's something going on and I need to get closer to God. So doing all that, encouraging people, encouraging them through their actions, also the word of God, and also communication. I know in the church, I don't know about there, but here, you know, we come to church and then we don't talk to each other for like till the next Sunday. Right. You know, we just like, hey, how you doing? That's it, you know. Yeah. So I've taught the team that we need to spend time with each other. We need to hang out, not all the time, but let's periodically take off the, you know, that old thing that we do on the platform. Let's just be real. Let's just hang out. If it's even just for a meal, let's just come and hang out. And then that's how people start to draw closer to you. And then that's when you start to see people are like, I want to share something with you. My wife, it's a perfect example. People come and talk to her because we spent time with each other. And so now they want to talk to her and call her up. And, you know, we'll have people come. And she just had somebody come out of town. Came out of town last week and was like, can we get together? Mm-hmm. And that's the whole part of growing. You grow as you connect with people and you can get corrected. You can be encouraged. You feel like you can make it another day. And in the world we're living in, it's sometimes hard to see that there's another day coming. But God allows that when we connect as a community and we encourage each other to get to that next step. That's how we will do it, far as encouraging other people to go forward and move forward in God.
That's good. Ellie?
Yeah, so I would just, I mean, he said a lot of it too, but it's just so it's just so important that we live a lifestyle, not only inside church, but you touched on this too, but outside church. It's like, people in the world need to see God in us on a daily basis. So,
I love it.
Let me get that left hand anointing.
No, I love it.
That's the question was.
How do we encourage people in ministry?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a daily thing. And it's just, I think a lot of the encouragement is just seeing how others live and walk together as a married couple, the way we walk together, we carry ourselves. And it's not all easy. It is a difficult, challenging road to go on, but you just never give up. And you know that God's got you regardless. Like, God's going to walk with you, through every difficult time, the good times, the bad times, he's there with you. So as long as you have him first, I believe that he's going to take care of the rest. It might not look like you think it should look, but it's okay. God's with you. He's got better plans, you know?
Can I share this last thing? This
is a really important thing.
I've heard this in church, but you got to be personable.
Yes.
So I had somebody come up to me and they were like, because I was on the platform, I had never talked to them, but because I was on the platform, they thought that they could not talk to me. And then sometimes as leaders, I don't think there's some of them that do it on purpose, but I don't think it's everybody that does it on purpose, where we're in leadership and we kind of, you know, we don't want to talk to the lower people. We don't want to talk to the
say that. Man.
And so when he said that, I was like, no, man, I'm a real dude. Let's talk. And so now we go, we'll have breakfast. We'll have lunch, because he really thought, he said, I needed somebody to talk to. I really did it. I didn't know who to talk to. I said, well, you can talk to any one of us. He said, I couldn't. He said, I didn't know that I could because y'all on the platform. That was his explanation. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I'm a real dude. Let's talk. And so listening to what he had, what he was going through, I was like, oh, yeah, you really needed somebody to just, for him to just vent. You know, I don't even know if I gave him, you know, good. Well, I did give him a little bit good of some information, but and encouraged him and prayed with him. This has now been going on for a couple of years now, still talking with him, still encouraging him. But we need to be personable. We need to be outgoing. We need to be able to, you see him, don't just walk by him. Hey, how are you doing today?
Right.
You got to start it off. The Bible said to go, not to wait for them to come, but for you to go. You need to go. You're walking in. How in the world we're talking about? The Lord is speaking to us, and we're doing all this stuff, but we can't see somebody in need.
Come on.
We can't see it right in front of us. So we got to be personable. We need to be personable, be humble, and be able to listen. And and be able to be easily approached.
Yeah.
That's
good.
My God, that is good.
That's
right
good. That's good. Well, we want to thank you all so much for joining us on today.
Yes.
It has been a blessing. And I pray again that our audience was able to grasp the nuggets and the testimonies, and to be able to navigate their marriage and ministry just a little bit differently, just as a result of everything that you shared, just because it was such a blessing. And, and again, we have seen with our own eyes.
I seen it with my own eyes.
Listen, don't do it. And so we appreciate you all, and we thank you all so much. Now, before we close out in prayer, did you have anything?
No, because I would love for the intercessor to intercede.
Oh, absolutely.
And close out, in prayer, because listen, I'm just going to be 100 with y'all. When you know your assignment, you become a target. And I tell you, I thank God for who he is. And one, I thank God for us knowing our assignment. And really, it's like, you know what? No, we got to do it. Because, I mean, she'll tell you, oh, we ran into some struggles trying to get a lot of this stuff together.
Listen.
And so in that, because we come to, man, listen, we come to understand, we know that, you know, the body of Christ is in trouble.
Yeah.
And because of a lot of stuff is being behind the scene, you know, and it's like, no, this is what the enemy is trying to do. Because any way that he can kill your witness, that's the thing. Yeah, it's fine if you go to heaven. It's fine. You can go. You're good. But all of those that you are affecting, I don't, that's bad for business. Mm-hmm. And so in this, when we begin to shine that light, just begin to think like, what? Hold on. The enemy had me fooled, bamboozled, hoodwinked, run amok. So it's like, okay, God, now I can see, now I can clearly see what you're saying, what you're showing. And so, I mean, you know, if the intercessor can intercede, hallelujah.
Go ahead. Right before you do, Ellie, I just wanted to say, you just reminded me, just because I think when you say that the body of Christ is in trouble, right? I think that, I think it's important that we understand our assignment, and if we don't understand our assignment, that we seek our assignment like never before, because the body of Christ is not so much as in trouble, but it's under attack.
Right.
And I think that God has placed people, and he's placed the saints, he's placed the soldiers in position and in places, but they are afraid to combat against the spirit of religion.
Right.
The spirit of religion is keeping us quiet.
Right.
And what I am understanding more and more and more, like, I understand the assignment that God has us on, which is marriage takeover, but in such a marriage takeover, we're demithing and breaking down what God has already established for marriage.
Right.
And knowing that it's coming against the spirit of religion. We have been fighting against the spirit of religion, y'all, like never. But I've never seen it. I've never seen it this heavy in all my life.
Right.
And so we get to certain places and we get to certain points, and I'm just like, God, what is this? And God, what is that? And then it's not so much as that we want to offend or to tear down any ministry, because that's not what God is about, but it really is about just us being able to show his example,
right,
and then not being afraid to speak up.
Right.
And that has been our challenge. We've had somebody tell us that our book was not of God because of the cover. We had somebody to tell us that what we're doing is not of God because of what we, because of our authenticity and our thing. And for a minute, y'all, it got me quiet because I was like, God, well, are we doing this? Are we that? And so I was just like, God, what is going on? And when he showed me that it was the spirit of religion, and the more that it comes, the more it tries to keep us silent, the more it tries to stop us.
Right.
I'm like, God, I will not be silent. And it's just been identified, what was it, a week or two ago, that we are disruptors. And so being a disruptor, we have to be able to go into the enemy's camp and not be afraid. And so we've allowed the enemy to come and infiltrate the body of Christ. And we're saying it's okay.
Come on now, mama.
Our last live, there was something, it compelled my heart. Y'all, it broke my heart where this pastor and his wife, they've been married for 6 months. And all, the pastor is depressed and on drugs. Now, if that's not a direct attack on the body of Christ, I was like, this is no, and we're being silent. And so I was like, God, whatever you do, however you do it. And then when we're approaching other ministries to try to be a part to introduce Marriage Takeover, it's the no's. Yeah. It's the no. It's not how we do things. Well, how do we do things if it's the body of Christ? How do we do things if we're not moving and we're operating in the things that God has said? It's because the spirit of religion is keeping us quiet.
And when you sit back and look, and when you sit back and look at it, is 40 to 50% of marriages, according to 2022, 40 to 50% of marriages end in divorce. Out of that, 38% of it are Christians.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm trying to understand how can we and the higher percentage out of that 38%, I think it was 21% are out of the black church.
Yeah.
And so it's, and to me, all of it is alarming because, and I throw some other data out there, but to me it's alarming because, wait a minute, we're supposed to be examples. So how do we die to division?
Yeah, it's a direct attack on the body of Christ is what it is because we are out of alignment. We have allowed the spirit of religion to infiltrate the church, and now we sitting back kicking it, talking about, oh, yeah, we lifting our hands and we singing the songs and we doing all that stuff, not realizing that the enemy don't have to do no work. He already there.
Yeah. Wow, you said it. Yeah.
So it's absolutely.
So my heart is compelled. I'm sorry. I digress. So my heart is compelled.
We apologize.
It's funny. I know we all want to shut it down, but it's funny. Probably about 7 or 8 months, and I'm of course I know y'all have already noticed it, but I was sitting in church and I just saw religion.
Yeah,
I saw it because we have our habits, we have our stuff, and I told my wife, I said, I don't really even think that people really understand when actually the Holy Spirit does come in. And I'm not nothing against them, but as Christians, we need to stand up and then stand out. We need to be loud.
Yeah.
Not necessarily you got to be vocally loud and be like, you know, I'm preaching on the corner, telling you that you're doing wrong, but you need to be standing up and standing out and be loud about what you believe so that the enemy can be defeated. But yes, the enemy is in the church. We are conforming. We're getting comfortable
with
how things go. And we're not really, when we come to church, 9 times out of 10, majority of people do not know how to seek his presence. Half of them probably don't know how to do it. The stuff that we're doing, we think we're seeking, but we don't really know how to seek his presence. So now we're really on the emotional thing. We come and we feel good because Tamika sang a beautiful song and we're now happy, but we're not really focused into the Holy Spirit. We're not really in school.
Right.
What God's doing so that miracles can happen. I'll say this last thing. We had some people that used to go to our church and they go to another church now. And I was talking to them, was talking to him over dinner. And he was telling us that the church, they really focused on the Holy Spirit. And they were, the worship was going on and the guy comes up. The worship leader was saying, the Lord wants to heal somebody in this ministry. in the church, and they kept continuing to worship, but the worship was so powerful. It was just like everybody was in tune, like the majority of that body was in tune with the spirit. And the worship leader gave a little bit of instructions. He says, don't y'all do anything, just continue to worship the Lord. We don't need you to go grab anybody, just continue to worship. Long story short, the guy comes up as they're worshiping, the guy comes up with the baby in his hand. Here in Atlanta, baby in his hand, the husband and wife had no eyes, had no hands, no Jesus. Arms. They had feet. And they were worshiping. They did not pray. They just continued to worship. They worshiped for another hour or so. When everybody looked at the baby, eyes were there, hands were there.
Come on,
it was 2020. Last year, it happened last year. So Jesus. God wants to do things. He really, really wants to show himself, but we got to open up ourselves. We got to remove all that other stuff so the purity of the Holy Spirit can come in and then start making wonders start to happen. Yeah. That's why the church is kind of, I don't want to say that we're weakening, because the power of God is always strong, but what we're doing as a body of Christ is weakening what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But man, when I heard that story, I was like, man, I'm ready to fight every devil, because the Holy Spirit is ready. He's there. He wants to do it. But we have to get in a place. We have to take responsibility to get in a place where God can minister to us and then use us.
Oh yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Oh my God. It, you know, when I sit back and look at it,
I love it. This thing I know our AB is like, sorry, this part two. No, you're good.
Because
you're good.
It's like in this season, like right now, when you begin to just sit back and look at marriage, God always talked about two. He said, whether there's two or three got together in his name, he's in the midst. Where there's two touching and agreeing, he's in the midst. It's where there's two, and it's like, hold on. In marriage, everything you need literally is in the house.
Yeah.
He says, out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So if God revealed it to you, and then your husband come and revealed it to you again, right now his word is now being established. If we're looking, look. Yes, everybody was praying for Pastor Janelle. Everybody was praying, but Ellie was by the bedside, weighing in. I've seen the miracles work, Hosha. Yeah. Because why? Because it all started at what God said, what he put together. Let no man tear us under. So when you begin to look at the impact of the church, it starts with marriage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if you can always walk, imagine this. It's not saying that we don't have our own individual things, you know, because she like doing what she like to do. I like doing what I like to do. Mm-hmm. We get intimate with one another when I do what she like to do and when she do what I like to do. But man, when it comes down to the things of God, and what God showed me was that we literally practice the very gifts at home.
Yeah, at home first. Yeah.
Everything that we do in the church house, we practice it at home.
Yeah.
Because, and it's so fun, and I love what you had said earlier, because that was my prayer. God, if I can't see what's going on in my own house, I don't need to tell nobody else what's going on in theirs. And I was like, I said, my prayer was, when the Lord called me to the ministry, I said, God, if my house ain't right, I don't want to preach not a damn word. And I had one minister say, I know, baby, we can try to close, but I'm just trying to show the importance of it. She done tapped me.
He got the holy tap.
One minister said to me, he said, man, if God needs you, he's going to use you. But I said, okay. But just like, okay. And then all of a sudden, the pastor asked me to speak on this certain Sunday. We went on one accord. Brother, when I tell you, all I did was read something like, Jesus, where you at? And brother, this one dude came up to me, man, that was a great word. I was there for 5 minutes. It was so watered down. I wanted to punch him in the face. I was like, you know you ain't getting nothing out of that. Look, sit down. But when I went into prayer, I asked, I said, God, where were you? And this is exactly what he said. Well, you said if your house ain't right, that you don't want to talk into nobody else. I honored your prayer. And I said, my God, keep that. Why? Because I'm honoring what God created first. He established husband. Yeah. He established marriage before he established the temple. He built marriage. He created marriage before he created the temple. And so that's that important piece when Lord. And just so that y'all know, I just want to let everybody know that the Alexander crew, when I tell you these folks know how to have fun and yes. love God, and I mean, when I say this brother can get down on the grill,
yes,
he can get down in the kitchen, I'm just like, wow. And it's just so fun to see Ellie sit back and be like, yes, do it, boo. And I'm like, oh my yes. God, oh, let's change that.
Don't but, do that, yes, and, don't do that one.
It's so awesome to see the true, authentic people that are leaders in the church, where they're not so heavily minded to where they're no earthly good. Yes. And it's just so awesome. Even the fun that y'all had on Puerto Rico, I peeped that. That's all. It's all good.
we love us so, on Puerto Rico. Yeah. So, yes. I said,
any money, that's cool. You ain't have to let us know because, you know, we would have gotten us a ticket and went.
I know.
It's all right. We understand. Praise the Lord. But nah, we greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate you saying yes and coming on and doing this two-part podcast, man. This has been so awesome. You got any last things
for having us?
Oh man,
you are welcome.
So, Ellie, if you don't mind interceding and praying us out, we'll greatly appreciate it. Hallelujah.
All right. Well, dear God, I want to thank you right now for who you are. I thank you for this time together, God. I ask that you would continue to bless Eric and Tamika with this vision that you've given them for your kingdom, God. I pray that it would glorify you in all that they do, Lord God, that you would give them more vision, more anointing, more power, Lord God, that you work in their marriage, Lord, to fulfill the assignment that you have for them. And God, I come right now against religion and the spirit of religion, God. We take authority over that spirit and we cast it out in the name of Jesus. And God, I just pray that you would move those religious areas out, Lord. Just sweep them out of the house, sweep them out of every area that are trying to attack this podcast that's going forward, God. And I just pray that you would give them just clear vision and all that they have to do. And God, I just pray that you would bless every marriage, that every person that's listening, Lord God, and that you would impact their lives and that you would continue to work on marriages as a whole in this nation, God, in this world, Lord God. God, that we would be stronger, Lord, as we walk with you, Lord, that you would give us vision, God, that you would unite even closer those marriages that are about to break and disconnect, God. I pray, Lord, now that you would just bind them together, Lord, with you, Lord God. Mend every broken heart, God. God, be their number one. Be the light in their marriage, Lord God. Help them to lean on you, Lord God, that they might fulfill the marriage that you have. And I just pray blessing over Tamika and Eric, Lord God, that you would continue to bless their families, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Before we go, if you can, because y'all been married for 26 years at the end of this month, if you can just give our audience, and for both of you can answer the question, what is the one thing you can say that has helped you to keep your marriage together strong and full of joy? What is the one thing that you can say?
I would say just always date your spouse. You know, I mean, you got to keep it fun. You got to keep it going. And, you know, dating your spouse like it's the first time.
Yeah.
You know? I love it.
I say the same thing.
Enjoy each other. Laugh.
Yeah, we laugh at Tamika now.
Yeah, you guys are
all in her sleep probably, huh? Yeah. You just continue. We someone told us that when we first got married, he said, never stop dating. So we try to do that. And so that keeps things a little bit fresh. We're real with each other. Not everything is good. Sometimes it's a little rough. But we get back on the horse and we keep moving, and we like to laugh and joke around. Mm-hmm. And we surround ourselves with people like y'all, people like y'all that are down to earth, and, you know, kind of keeps us kind of on the right path. So, yeah, that's what keeps us. We continue to date.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
I love it.
Well,
thank you guys so much. Yeah. It was such an honor to have you. Thank you all so much for tuning in. And for you all joining us with the podcast, thank you again for tuning in. I'm your girl, Tamika.
It's your boy, E-Rock Nim.
And we will see you all next time.
Love you.
Are you looking for accountability? Are you looking for personal development and growth and spiritual and emotional support? Hey, are you looking for community? Listen, if you are looking for all these things, we want you to know that the Marriage Takeover Connected membership is for you.
Yes, it is.
Listen, we meet every month. We have a wife's lounge. We've got bro talk. We have all the different things. We've got monthly classes. We have experts that come in. And it's an opportunity for us to pour into you, for you to be able to get what you need to start your healing process. So if this is for you, we want you to connect and get inside of the membership. We are the Marriage Takeover. But we want to make sure that we hang tight together. So make sure that you like, subscribe, and share so that we can make sure that we stay connected, all right?
Oh, yeah. Make sure you join the Facebook group, Marriage Takeover, Body of One.
And we will have all those links down in the show notes for this episode. Takeover. We are the Marriage Takeover. Take over.